Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Extreme Ways, the Power of Addiction with Paul Smith. Extreme Ways, no better words to explain the hunger involved in following one's addiction. That was a very strong song by Moby, one I enjoy very much, and I resonate with it because of everything that I've come through. It's ironic that you spend a lifetime chasing an addiction and living a life of an illusion, and you pay to go to it. It's the first thing you wake up in the morning with. It's what you want most. And then you have to learn how to live life without it. And that's what this show is about. It's about learning how to live life without compensating. This is a show that's very close to my heart, as not only have I lived through it and recovered, I've spent the rest of my days dedicated to teaching the wisdom that I've gathered along this journey. So what is addiction? The best way for me to define such a vast topic is to share with you a piece I wrote on the subject that for me sums it up. An addiction will bind you. It will blind you. It will absorb you. It will consume you. It will deplete you. It will render you helpless. It will confuse you. It will empty you. It will deprive you. It will enrage you. It will diminish your ability to thrive. It will provoke you. It will create paranoia within you. It will fool you. It will destroy you. An addiction takes from you with the illusion of giving. So why do so many fall prey to an addiction? The simple truth is this: that feel-good moment is better than the life one is living. The sad truth is this: that feel-good moment will never last. If you are addicted, dependent on it, then step away now. That choice cannot be controlled by the addiction. You are free to make that choice always. Choose and flow in the direction of your choice. The question is this: is it possible to move beyond addiction? The answer is yes. What you'll want to know is how. How do I move past this reality? How do I move beyond this reality? The simple answer to that question is create a new reality. However, that's not so simple. Creating a new reality means that you have to have different thoughts. And if you've been practicing negative thoughts that you have, so creating thoughts can actually be a very challenging task. To do that, you have to let go of your past and begin to create a whole new thought process. And that's where most fail for various reasons. Some of the reasons why many fail is, one, because most get addicted to recovery. This is a subject that I want to get back to and speak about a lot more, because it's a topic that needs a lot of decrypting in terms of trying to understand how can one get addicted to recovery. And I'd like to go through this very specifically, because through my life of helping addicts move away from addiction, I found so many addicted to the actual recovery process itself. The second one is they keep their own self-worth so low that they have very little energy to give to thoughts about becoming more that they are at the moment. The third, they exchange one addiction for another. In other words, they give up one thing, but they find other addictive practices that they feel are less sabotaging. I'm going to take a short musical break, and then we're going to get straight into what we can do about recovery, how we can enter it, how we can look at it from a different point of view.
If I don't get out of this, I just want you to know that I really, really love you. I love you, love you, love you.
More than I thought this world could ever hold. from another fun day in Babylon. I'm gonna bury my wife and dig up my gun. My life is done, so now I've got to kill someone.
Welcome back. We were talking about why so many fail or find it so hard to recover. Think about it this way. An addict loses their identity. And if you have no identity, how could you be expected to create a new reality based on your personal preferences that come from your personal identity? What this means, in other words, how can you choose what is best for you if you cannot remember who you are? So the first step of recovery is to remember who you are, and you are not who you were. Who you were was where the addiction took you. So these words might sound very confusing, and that's the problem with the entire situation between addiction and recovery. It is extremely confusing, and the reason why it's confusing is because of evolution. When an addict starts an addictive process, they are somebody else. They're the original person prior to the addiction. In other words, they know what their personality is. They know what their preferences are. They know what their desires are. And so they move into an addictive practice by choosing to pick up an intoxicant or partake in alcohol or get engrossed in food. It doesn't matter what the addiction is, they choose to start focusing on an addictive practice. And now, as they practice it more and more, and they continue through this process of practicing it day after day, month after month, year after year, as they're doing that, they spend more time on the addictive practice than on their personal preferences. And so what happens is they actually lose sight of their identity. They become someone else. So an addict isn't who they were. And when they are exhausted from the addiction and they want to recover, they cannot remember who they were. They can only remember the years of practicing addiction. That's the identity. That was the reflection that they had to look back on. So asking an addict to choose a whole new set of preferences the moment after that they've left an addiction is almost impossible. It takes time. It's a process to be able to rediscover who you are. And that's what it's all about. It's about rediscovering who you are. This is what makes recovery so complex and subject to relapse. Relapse is just an escape from not knowing how to find your true self. It is a return to what has been practiced, and that's why so many fall subject to relapse. The word addiction means practiced behavior. It's a repeated behavior. Now I'd like to read another piece I wrote that is more about hope and just how strong you truly are. What's interesting about this piece is when people are looking at addiction, really looking at the negatives. So that first piece that I wrote you, I read out to you, is more about the effect that an addiction has over you over time. And so it binds you. It actually holds you in place, and it has a lot of negative emotions to it. But strangely enough, there's actually a positive effect from having been an addict. And so in this piece, what I wanted to reflect on for the addict who's recovering is that there's a flip side to this. To the recovering addict, there is good news. You're not a dropout. You're not unworthy of a better life. Your story is not over. You are not unable to manage your life. You are not bound to the mask you once wore. Because you took one wrong turn, or even 1,000 wrong turns, this does not make you invaluable. It makes you wise. Your wisdom shows you all that you have attempted that does not work. And that information is valuable. It means you now know what not to do. Your so-called mistakes and poor judgments has empowered you to live the rest of your life to the fullest without the need of to compensate. Eventually review your life and learn new ways in which to face or solve problems. Your dysfunction eventually squashed your ego. And out of that, you learned humility and the benefits of being humble. Your defiance taught you how to cooperate more. Your isolation taught you how to nurture more fulfilling relationships. Your arrogance taught you how to be grateful, appreciating the life you have to live. Your story has taught you wisdom in which to uplift those who travel uncertain paths. Your poor choices taught you to make more informed choices. Your rejection taught you to be more accepting and understanding. Every fault becomes a positive when you turn it all around. Your powerlessness becomes your power. Your negative, a positive. Your worth, unquestionable. Now, that is a completely different take on an addict to what a lot of addicts are hearing about themselves. Mostly what they're listening to is the negative past that they came from. However, how can you expect to recover if you're going to stay focused on the negative past that you come from? How are you going to recover if you're going to surround yourself with people who have also come from a difficult past that continuously talk about it? You see, that defies logic, because the logic is that you have to find new things to think about. You have to discover or rediscover who you are. That's what's important, because as soon as you rediscover who you are and what it is that you want and what your preferences are in life, in other words, you're using that wisdom to choose to make more informed choices, then you're able to start evolving forward. And that's the premise of life. The premise of life is that you evolve. The reason why addicts fail is because they stop evolving. They practice something and stay within a field of sameness time and time again until eventually they're exhausted from it. And because they're exhausted from it, they end up being powerless. That is because they're no longer evolving. That is why most addicts do not know who they are. So what you want to do is you want to reach for a whole new way of living. But you've got to be easy about this. This is not something that you can run into and tomorrow all of a sudden find out what it is that you want and find all your preferences and gain a better understanding of who you are. This is about recreation. This is creating a whole new you. So you have to look at life with that in mind. But how do you look at life with that in mind if you're addicted to recovery, where you're continuously walking around repeating to yourself, I am an addict. I am now in a process where I have to constantly guard everything that I do to make sure that I don't relapse. Can you hear the fear in that? The fear is of going backwards. This takes away from what it is that you as an individual have the power to do. And what you have the power to do is make a choice. That is primarily the power that you have, is to make a choice. So what you have to do is you start making more informed choices for yourself. You use the wisdom. If you've spent 10 years in an addictive practice, running around with other addicts and taking yourself to the point of powerless, you certainly know what does not work. So why would you repeat that? You know where that path goes to. So what you want to do is you want to recreate your life. And to recreate your life, you have to start looking at life from a different point of view. And you have to look at what the benefits are. You can be grateful for having a life and for still being alive and having the opportunity to be able to make a new choice. You can be appreciative for the small things that you've got. Most addicts go into recovery in terms of when I visited rehabs and stuff, and they're there in the early weeks of rehabilitation. A lot of them would say, the sky is just so blue. The grass is just so green. I'd lost touch with that. I'm starting to see the colors are just so brilliant. And that's just because they kept themselves in dark places. They kept themselves in isolation. They didn't spend too much time outdoors. They didn't spend too much time appreciating nature or being grateful for the few things that they had. Instead, they were focused more on getting high, fulfilling themselves with a compensating action so that they could feel better, which is virtually running away from basically living life and evolving. So what you want to do most is you want to be able to evolve. I'm going to stop right now, head on to another song, and we're going to come back and carry on with the show now. Thanks so much for joining us.
Granted, left me wanting more.
Welcome back. One of the things that I wanted to return to was getting addicted to recovery. And for me, in somebody who spends nearly every waking hour on helping people with addiction, I've come to an understanding that so many people get addicted to the process of recovery. And before I start talking about this, one of the things that I want to bring to the forefront is that with the NA or the AA practice or the OA practice, whatever 12-step programs that there are, these programs are beneficial. They programs that I feel have a place in the world in terms of helping people to get started on the idea on how to recover. And I say that very carefully because what I'm actually saying is it's a good starting platform to reevaluating your life if you do not have any other guide or experienced practitioner to help guide you through the process. In other words, if you're standing on your own, NAAA, that's a wonderful place to go. It also surrounds you with other people who have been struggling and are also trying to find a new way to live. And so to spend a bit of time in these rooms and listen to people and identify with them and to possibly start some sort of 12-step program on your own, it's a really good thing to do. However, and this is where I put an indemnity in here, is it's not a great thing to continue. The first thing that I want you to understand is that with these 12-step programs, the success rate worldwide is between 3 and 5%. That means that 95% are not making it through that program. That's a huge failure rate. So when I say it's a good thing in the beginning, it's a really good thing to tap into because there is quality in those programs. Those programs work if you apply yourself to it, but that can be very difficult. And so what I want to do is I just want to point out some of the difficulties. The process of recovery means that you have to end one life to begin a new life. When you end one life, in other words, you let go of it, you should theoretically focus on the new life. The reason why I'm saying this is because if you focus on the past life indefinitely, in other words, continuously day after day, you are rewiring your brain to that information. And there's very little new information coming through. So if you go through to an NA or AA meeting, you will find that there's repetitive information regarding addiction, regarding its practices, regarding the pitfalls and shortcomings that is repeated time and time again, plus people supporting that by saying, yes, I understand that I've been through it and this was my experience going through it. Yet in that meeting, there are very little, if you had to take percentages, you'd be looking at 80% past information and 20% possibly, if you're lucky, information about how to move forward. And that means that your brain only has 20% good information that you can go away with. 80% of it has been reminding you neurologically about where you came from. And that's the difficult thing because that's a very slow progress in terms of creating a new life. You have to learn how to let go. And to let go means to take your attention off. In that piece that I wrote, I was explaining about the wisdom that you get from being an addict. And one of the points of wisdom that you have is to know what doesn't work. Simply to know what doesn't work. Once you know what doesn't work, in other words, you made a short list. This does not work. These are the things that did not work for me. You know they don't work. You don't have to keep repeating that they don't work. You don't need to keep going back to it. All you have to do is make sure that in your choices moving forward, you're not putting any of those choices in your thinking moving forward. So what do you want to think about moving forward? You want to think about who it is you want to become. That's a new picture. And that's what you have to do introspectively by yourself. You sit by yourself and you decide, who would I prefer to be? Who do I want to become? What does that picture look like? If I had to imagine it, how would that feel for me? And you start putting together a picture based on your preferences, because you'll decide, well, you know, these are the things that I like. That's the type of stuff I'd like to gravitate towards. That's the quality of life I'd like to have. In the beginning, that thinking is going to be very narrow because you haven't given it very much thought. Yet if you start giving it thought and start making notes to yourself about where it is you would like to be and who it is you would like to become, the more you think about it, the more information will be added. And the more information that's added to that thinking, the rewiring of the brain is now at some stage going to take over from past thoughts that you've thought time and time and time again. You can't repeat to yourself, I am an addict, and this is a lifelong sentence. That thinking is limited, because what will happen with that is you will remain an addict and you will be subject to it because you've said, I am. I am is a very powerful thing to say. I am better than that. I have the ability to become more than that. That's a more powerful statement. And then you have to add a picture to that of what will that be? Who will I become? Who do I want to become? Who out there for me is a good role model? And as you start looking at these preferences, you'll start forming more of an identity based on your personality. And even though as an addict your personality was skewed, you'll start rediscovering who you actually are. And as you start working towards that end, your reality will actually shift and change. Why does your reality change? Because you're not stuck in negative emotion. If you think about this carefully, most times when you're thinking about the past, negative emotions come forward. What the negative emotion is actually telling you is that what you are focusing on at this moment in time is not adding value to who you are. It's saying it by way of giving you the negative emotion. Yet, when you're focusing on of who it is you would like to become and the things that you would like to experience and the things that you would like to have, positive emotion starts coming forward. And when you have positive emotion, you get inspired. When you have negative emotion, you start losing energy. And when you start losing energy, you do not have the inspiration or the hope. It's hard to get there because I feel negative all the time. So what I'm saying to you is that you have to move into a completely different field of thinking. And it's not so difficult. It just takes a bit of practice, because try and think about it this way. When you buy a brand new computer, and you want to do some artwork on that computer, you can't just sit down at the computer and start doing artwork, because the computer doesn't have the software for the artwork to be done. So what you have to do is feed the computer the software to have the ability to do the artwork. The brain isn't that much different. What that actually means, the brain doesn't have the information about what the preferences are, because they've been thinking too much about past experiences and past behavioral patterns. So you're neurologically wired for that. That's why impulses are so strong. And so what you have to do is you have to include new information. Who will I become? Where is it that I see myself in 3 months' time? Where is it I see myself in 3 years' time? What would I like to build my life towards? What type of people would I like to surround myself with? What type of other activities stimulate me? What kind of personalities do I want to have around me? These are new questions. And when you start answering those questions, your eyes and your brain's focus is going to be more on the desire for that. And the more it has a desire for that and you're feeling inspired, like, I'm sure I'm going to meet the right people. I'm hopeful about what's going to happen the next day. You're having these bursts of inspiration. You're having these bursts of energy in which to jump into action and to be able to do things. And so you're able to free yourself, and that's the important thing that I'm saying here, free yourself from remaining where you were to somewhere totally new. And you want to be somewhere totally new. You actually want to wake up in the morning and say, wow, day on, I'm ready. I'm excited about this evolutionary path forward that my life is taking. It's exciting. I don't know what's coming around the corner, but it could be good. In fact, it will be good because I'm looking for good. I'm looking for focusing on all the great things that I could be having. I've been working with addicts for a long time. And one of the exciting things for me as a counselor is to be able to see the shift within them. There are so many different ways in which I see that shift. Not only from an energetic point of view in terms of, wow, I'm starting to look at life from a whole different position and I'm really excited about it. In fact, this is fun. I'm enjoying building it. But I also see it from a physiological point of view. In other words, what they physically look like from the time that they arrive to the time that they leave. And they're completely new people. Peachy skin. Starting to put on a bit of weight, looking good, in some cases losing a bit of weight, excited about life, dressing up differently, you know, having more respect for oneself, self-worth high. It's all about getting back to enjoying life. And just because you went down a path, no matter how long that path took, could have taken 5 years, could have 10 years, 15 years, it really doesn't matter. What does matter is that for whatever days you have to live, enjoy them. You want to enjoy your life. You want to be able to wake up with a desire for more, with an expectation for more. You want to be able to look at yourself in the mirror and say, I really like who that is. I'm excited about going out and presenting myself. You really want to be a good example. And more so than that, the wisdom that you've had from being an addict to being someone who's recovered is profound. It really is profound because not a lot of people go through that experience of actually recovering. Remember I said during the statistics, 5% perhaps recover completely. And that's not a negative thing that you need to look at and say, oh, gee, I hope I'm one of those 5%. You definitely could be part of the 5% and more, which means that's just the statistics in one field of thinking. And what I am saying is that field of thinking is a little bit limited in terms of your personal evolution forward, your personal growth, your personal spiritual growth. You can go as far as you want, and you can definitely tackle recovery. Recovery is not that difficult if you learn where to focus. If you learn to focus on your future desires more than the past that you came from. That's how simple it really is. And how soon could you feel good? You can feel good 1-2 weeks after starting to look at recovery from this point of view. By 3 weeks, 4 weeks, your reality could start shifting. By 5 weeks, 6 weeks, you could be in a whole new reality, enjoying life. starting to feel that momentum of your evolutionary growth forward. That's how quickly this can happen. The difficulty, and that's why I'm doing this, is to teach you different ways of looking at recovery. And lose the word recovery. I'm going to live. That's a good word. I'm going to enjoy life. I see myself in a whole new place. I've passed that. I've left that. That's no longer who I was. It changes as soon as you start changing. And so what's important here, and what I need you to take away from the show the most, is that it's your thinking that has to start changing. And your thinking can't be on the past, it needs to be on the future. I didn't say the present, because the present is difficult. I'm sure that there's many things in many people's ways in terms of being able to move forward. But your thoughts is something that you can move forward. In other words, you can think ahead. And so from this show, perhaps go away starting to ask the big questions. Who am I becoming? What type of people would I like to have around me? How do I see that picture of myself in 5 months' time? Where will I be living? What will I be doing? What will I want? And be unlimited in that thinking. It really doesn't matter. Because what I want you to do is have the thoughts moving forward. How to get to those things are going to automatically happen if you start focusing forward. I'm going to put out another piece of music here. And when we come back, we're going to quickly talk about how you remove some of the negative emotion and become more positive. We'll be back shortly.
over. I'm not going home.
Forgive me, Majesty. I'm a vulgar man, but I assure you, my music is not.
Welcome back. Sorry for the bad mixing. I actually thought that that one would mix right into the other one, but it didn't go that way at all. So I won't try that again. However, to get back to moving away from negative emotion, moving away from negative emotion is not as difficult as what people might think. That's the problem. It's thinking. You see, when you focus on a negative subject, automatically what happens inside your system is an emotion to that thought is born within you, which is a negative emotion. Negative thinking equals negative emotions. So to be able to move away from that, you have to practice a new way of thinking. The more positive thoughts that you can put in other words, other things that you can think about that yield for you a positive emotion, changes things. So what I want you to understand about negative emotion the most is that the more you focus on negative subjects, the more negative emotions you'll have. And negative emotion has a tendency to take your energy levels down. Positive emotion tends to offer more energy to you. That's why you get inspired. That's why you become hopeful. That's why you become passionate. The more positive thinking you have, the more you start going towards the energy levels that you want because of the emotions you're feeling. So you have to practice moving from a negative state of thought to a more positive state of thought. But you can't pretend this. In other words, if you're unhappy, you can't pretend to be happy. That's impossible. That's like trying to jump from fear to joy. It's impossible. You cannot make that leap. It's too far apart. So what I am saying is if you're plagued by negative thoughts, sit down with a piece of paper and write down some of your preferences. Your preferences are, I would prefer to be in Hawaii surfing at the beach. I'm just giving you strange examples because what I want to do is show you how the emotion can shift. While I'm on the beach, I want to be eating, I want to be drinking a fruit cocktail that's inside a coconut. And I want to hear the waves crashing in the background. Now, what's actually happening is you're starting to paint a picture within your mind of something you would prefer. Because you're taking yourself to those thoughts, immediately your system will start producing positive emotions for you related to that subject, and you will feel them. Immediately you will have more energy. So this is not pretending. This is placing yourself and putting yourself into a picture of something better. When you are in a good space, in other words, let's say you take yourself through a story like I've just taken yourself through, and you are immersed in that story because it feels so good. Now start asking yourself other questions. Who do I want to be? Where do I want to go? What do I want to do? What could I fill my life up with? What would I like to see more of at home? Let me write down the things that I enjoy, the things that I find stimulating. Let me cut out pictures of the things that I enjoy and find more stimulating. Let me cut out pictures of some of the things that I desire. I'm going to paste those on the wall to remind myself of what it is I like. Now you're starting to change the framework of your thinking to more about your preferences than the negative past that you come from. Yes, there are going to be difficulties. There are going to be difficulties because we live in the present, which means if you're moving from a negative, more positive state in that current position, you're still going to have negative occurrences, negative people, negative associations, all those kind of things are still going to be around. But as a starting point, I want you to project into the future of what it is that you prefer and where it is that you're reaching, because I want you to start stepping out of the reality you're in into a new reality. And the only way to do that is to start thinking about what that new reality is. The longer you stay fixated on the past, the more your current reality is going to include things about your past. So you really do have to move forward. You also want to improve your emotions all the time. Better feeling emotions, positive emotions equal energy. If you have the energy, then you have the strength. If you have the strength, then you can get through this and endure. So recovery doesn't have to be such a long process. It can be a quick process depending on how much time you want to give to constructive thinking. So in our next show, what we're going to talk about is deliberate thinking. And we're going to talk about a couple of processes that can help you along the way in terms of dealing with problems that you have in your current position. In some of our future shows, what I'm going to do is I'm going to open up the call line for anyone who wants to call through. Also going to open up the chat line to anyone who wants to anonymously put forward a question or is battling with something and wants an answer to something. I want the show to be informative. You can also go to Facebook Power of Addiction page, the community page, and on that page, send me a message. Send me a message and say, yeah, these are some of the difficulties I'm having. Could you speak about these on the radio show? We don't have to mention your name. You can do it anonymously, but you do want some answers to some of the things that you're experiencing. You can also go through to my website, www.goingbeyondreality.com. And I have quite a bit of information on the website that you can go and visit and net some useful information from that. There are various other Facebook pages like Observing the Sounds of the World, which give you positive thoughts every single day, and read some of the pieces that I post. Perhaps go back into that page and read some of the older things if you need some constructive thinking moving forward, because what you want to do is you want to change your observational skills. And a lot of that writing is aimed at helping you as an individual form better observational skills about yourself, the world that you live in, and reaching for the dream that you want, which is whatever you personally are looking for in life. So spend some time there. If you have been with us through the show, thanking you so much for being here. Please share this show with other people that you think may need it. Even if there are people that are not addicts, but are dealing with addicts in their family, share it with them, because this information, when we share concrete information about addiction and the recovery process, it's invaluable. It's my way of paying it forward from where I come from. And lastly, thank you so much again for being here with me and taking the time to listen. I appreciate it. Each and every show that I do is going to cover different aspects of addiction. So I will be covering all the various different forms of addiction over time. And I'm hoping that this is going to be an ongoing process. For now, we're doing 13 shows in the season. And step back in and be with me again. Thank you so much. My love to all.
Forgive me, Majesty. I'm a vulgar man. But I assure you, my music is not.
Living.